Okay, Father Jacob.
Father Daniel, I would say, is definitely been chosen by God to witness to Christ in Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. 90% population is Muslim. And he has converted over 2,000 people, to Christianity in Indonesia. He is the dean and essentially the founder of the Orthodox Church in Indonesia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. It's my privilege to be able to stand here. It's my first visit. I hope it will not be my last visit. So I became Christian when I was in high school. My grandfather was an imam, and my mother was a Muslim, a Quran teacher. But then I found Christ at that time, and my grandfather became Christian also. I was baptized first in the Presbyterian Church. So we were a member of the Presbyterian Church, but I was involved in the charismatic movement at that time. And then finally I was discovering a lot of the, quarrel over theology. I began to ask what kind of belief the early Christian had. So I was searching for the ancient Christianity. And then I went to theological school in Korea, South Korea. I studied at the Presbyterian Seminary in Korea. So I was in Korea for 5 years, so of course I speak Korean because of that. And then I found the Orthodox Church in Korea. And finally I joined the Orthodox Church because, for me, because the Orthodox tradition and Islamic traditions in many ways are similar, it's easier for me to be able to tell the Muslim about the faith without culturally they are jumping too much from Islam and then jumping to American culture. Evangelicalism is very difficult many times. So when we were from Islam and jumping into the same Middle Eastern culture, we believing in Christ without discarding many of their culture, so it's easier for them to accept, and it proven to be true. So after being Orthodox, and over there, it's still proven to be true, and being Orthodox, it's easier for them to be able to identify themselves with the Christianity. So that's why, and then when I came here, I went to Greece for some time, and then from Greece I came here to America. I studied in Boston, and after my graduation in 1988, I went back to Indonesia, and I started the mission beginning from zero. I was the only one. I was the priest, I was a member of the congregation, I was counselor. So anyway, then finally I got the first convert as a Muslim, and then we have 20 other priests helping me out of the zero beginning. And 60% of the converts are Muslim. So I've been. My message is that, in spite of the growth of radicalism, the Muslim heart are restless. They need Christ, and there is possibility that they can be reached if we understand how to approach them. Now, today I just want to share with you the many objections, the several objections Islam that become hindrance in our witness to Muslim. Of course, partly cultural, as I said already, but also mostly the cultural hindrances because it is being based on certain theological premises that Islam actually want to nullify Christianity in its theology. What is that? There are at least five or six point that I can discover that Islam's trying to destroy Christianity. Number one is the belief in the Trinity. Islam is avowedly a monotheistic religion in the sense that they believe God is one person, one nature, one essence. We Christians believe God is one, but three in person. So that's, for them, it is sure way to go to hell. So let me read for you in Quran chapter 5, verse 73. It says as follows. Quran chapter 5, verse 73, it is written as follows. Infidels are those who say, surely Allah is the third of three, and there is no God but the one God. And if they desist not from what they say, a painful chastisement shall befall those among them who disbelieve. So you will go to hell if you believe in the Trinity. So that is number one. Number two, of course, about Jesus Christ. If there is no Trinity, therefore there is no second person in the Trinity. We know the second person is Jesus Christ. If there is no, because there is no second person in the Trinity, therefore Jesus Christ is not God. So the divinity of Jesus Christ is flatly denied by Islam. And it is said in the same chapter, verse 72. Infidels are those who say, surely Allah, He is the Messiah, son of Mary. And the Messiah said, O children of Israel, serve Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Surely whoever associates others with Allah, then Allah has forbidden to him the garden. And his abode is the fire. And there shall be no helpers for the unjust. So if we believe that Jesus is God, we will go to hell. Well, we say, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you go to hell. So there is no middle way. You have to choose either Jesus or not. So you have to choose it. So you can say, okay, we worship the same God. What kind of God you worship? Do you worship the Holy Trinity? If not, then you don't worship the same God. So many times this political correctness become debilitating to our witness to Christianity. So I said, no, I don't care about political correctness. I want care of biblical correctness. That's what I care. If the Bible says so, that's what I believe. Not what these people outside say. Okay, because Jesus is not God, and God is one, therefore also it is denied by Islam that the sonship of Jesus Christ. According to Islam, God does not have son. In the very telling chapters in chapter 112, قُلُوا وَاللَّهُ أَخَدْ, say that Allah is one. Allahu Samad, He is the place of our dependence. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, He is not begetting and He is not begotten. So, therefore, according to Islam, to believe in that God has a son is impossible, and also it is upfront against the majesty of God. So, it is reading Quran chapter 9, verse 29 and chapter 9, 29 and 30. Let me read for you. It says as follows. Okay, 29 and 30. Fight those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the latter day, nor do they prohibit what Allah and His apostles have prohibited, such as drinking alcohol, eating pork. Nor follow the religion of truth. Of course, according to the Quran, the religion of truth is Islam. Out of those who have been given the book, those who have been given the book were Jews and Christians, of course. Until they pay the tax in acknowledgement of superiority, of what superiority of Islam, and they are in state of subjection, and this is what has been practiced all along since the Christian world of the Eastern Christianity has been subjugated to Islam, and this is what they want to do now in the West. They want to implement this teaching of the Quran, and the Jews say Israel is the son of Allah, and I don't know what kind of Judaism believe this. I do not find anyone who believes that Israel is the son of God. And the Christians say the Messiah is the son of Allah. These are the words of their mouth. They imitate the saying of those who disbelieved before. May Allah destroy them. For they are turned away. So it's very strong language indeed. Allah destroy us. The prayer that Allah made, Allah destroy them because we believe that the Messiah is the Son of God. And also we read in Quran chapter 19. Quran chapter 19, it says as follows. Verse 88. Quran chapter 19, verse 88, followings. And they say, the beneficent God has taken to Himself a son. Certainly you have made an abominable assertion. The heavens may almost be rent thereat, and the earth cleave asunder, and the mountains fall down in pieces, that they ascribe a son to the beneficent God. It is not worthy of the beneficent God that he should take to himself a son. So it is very, very adamant against the idea of the son, that God is a son, especially Christian idea that Jesus is the Son of God. Why does Islam reject that? the idol, son of God. So in Islam, God is not the father, we are not children of God. God is the master, we are slaves. That's the only relationship between us and God. God is the master, we are slaves. We are not children of God. It is blasphemous even to think of that. We read in Quran chapter 6, verse 101, it says, Quran chapter 6, 101, the Quran says as follows: Wonderful originator of the heavens and the earth, how could he have a son when he had no consort? And he himself created everything, and he is the knower of all things. So, the idea of the sonship is very, very biological. God has son only if he has wife. It's like the pagan. In the pagan, you're like Isis, Osiris, and Horus. You know, Father God, and Son God. So the Muslim think that this is the way the Christian, the Quran, at least the Quran. The Quran thinks that this is the way Christians believe in the Trinity. That is, God is the third of three. Look at this terminology, the third of three. Which means, according to the Quran, Christians believe in three gods, and God is number three in that row of three gods. And who is number one, who is number two? Let us read in Quran chapter 5, verse 116. It says, When Allah will say, Oh, Jesus, son of Mary, Did you say to man, Take me and my mother for two gods beside Allah? Me, my mother, Allah. No Christian believe that the Holy Trinity consists of Jesus, Mary, and God. Even the Roman Catholic, as much as they elevate Mary, they don't believe Mary is part of the Trinity. So I don't know what kind of belief that Muhammad trying to accuse Christian of. So the Holy Trinity that is being said in the Quran has nothing to do with the true Christian understanding of the Holy Trinity. Okay? So that is the way the Muslim understand. Now, because Jesus is not God, Jesus is not Son of God, therefore Jesus cannot save anyone. He is just human being like anybody else. Quran 5 verse 75 says as follows: The Messiah, son of Mary, is but an apostle. But an apostle. Apostles before him have indeed passed away. And his mother was a truthful woman. They both used to eat food to show that they are just human beings, because they ate food. Okay? See how we make the communication clear to them, then behold how they are turned away. So according to the Quran, then Jesus Christ is just a prophet like anybody else. He is not a savior, because only God can save. Since Jesus is not God, therefore he cannot save. Because the way Jesus saved human being, the salvation is done through redemption on the cross. Therefore, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is denied flatly in Islam. According to Islam, Jesus Christ was never crucified. Let me read for you. Quran chapter 4, verse 157. Quran chapter 4, verse 157 and 58, it says as follows. And they're saying, they're here being the Jews, and they're saying, Surely we have killed the Messiah, Jesus son of Mary, the apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it appeared to them so. And most surely, those who were therein are only in doubt about it. They have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture. And they killed him not for sure. Nay, Allah took him up to himself, and Allah is mighty wise. According to Islamic, the common Islamic interpretation is that when Judas Iscariot led the Jewish people to arrest Jesus Christ that night, because of his evil betraying his master, God punished him by changing his appearance to resemble Jesus Christ. And then, this change of Judas Iscariot the Jews mistook him to be the real Jesus. So he was the one who was brought to Pontius Pilate, and he was the one who was crucified on the cross. Therefore, it is not Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross, but it was Judas Iscariot. So, according to Islamic belief then, the common Islamic belief, Jesus Christ was taken up alive in heaven, and he's still alive, and he will come back again to the world, and he will come back through the minaret of the Mosque of Damascus in Syria to fight the Islamic Antichrist. It is not our Antichrist. It is the Islamic Antichrist that would come, and Jesus will fight against this Islamic Antichrist and destroy Islamic Antichrist. It is called the Dajjal. Destroy the Dajjal. And then after that, he will destroy all crosses all over the world. Why? Because cross is the sign of the greatest hoax ever created by humankind. Why? Because it was not Jesus Christ who was crucified on the cross, but Judas Iscariot. So Jesus will come to destroy crosses and also to kill pigs. Why? Because Jesus was a Muslim. As a Muslim, he did not eat pork. Yet Christians eat pigs, so the pigs will be destroyed. And I do not know how he will do it. Whether he will go to its stables or to the mountain, I do not know. Now, after that, after he destroys all these things, and then he will revert the Christian to the original religion of the Prophet Jesus, namely Islam. According to the Muslim, Islam is the perennial religion of mankind. It is given by God as the pattern of his creation. So, if you are not Muslim, then you are deviated from your original nature. Your original nature is nature of submission. So that's why your parents actually, or your environment impose you things which are not Islamic. So that's why, according to the Muslim, all the prophets are Muslim, including Adam, Noah, including Jesus Christ himself. And Muhammad came not to establish new religion. Muhammad came to restore the original religion of all the prophets, as it is exemplified particularly in the person of Abraham. So Jesus Christ will convert the Christian back to Islam. So this is why here in America, a Christian or Jewish people become Christian, become Muslim, they are not called as convert, but revert. You revert to the original religion. There is Islam. So that's the way the Muslim understand the mission of the Prophet Muhammad. So Jesus Christ was not crucified. Because he was not crucified, therefore he was not raised from the dead. And Jesus Christ did not redeem anyone, because nothing to be redeemed. Why? Because there is no original sin. When Adam fell in paradise, it was not a fall that affect all mankind. It was just a personal slip of Adam. It's nothing more. So that is the way Islam understand the fundamental ideas of Christianity. Everything was flatly rejected, because all these things are written in the Bible. So therefore they say this Bible has been corrupted. Of course, in the past, God given the Torah to the Prophet Moses, given the Psalm or the Zabur to the Prophet David, given the Injil or the Gospel to the Prophet Jesus, but all those previous scripture has been tampered with by the Christians and the Jews, and has been changed by them and become what it is now. So that's why God wants to correct the wrong and heretical belief of the Christian and the Jews by sending the newest revelation, the most perfect revelation, namely the Quran. Therefore, the Quran replaced everything what is in the Bible, and the Muslims try very hard to disprove the Bible by pointing at you the contradiction within it, and by pointing at you, you know, the inconsistencies within the Bible and all those kind of things. And most of the time, of course, they interpret that according to their own whim. It's not according to the context of what the scripture says. So, if you meet Muslim, usually they will point that to you and try to explain the Trinity, things like that. Okay, those are the five or six objections of Islam against Christianity. So that when you see this thing, if there is no Trinity, if Jesus is not God, Jesus is not Son of God, Jesus is not crucified on the cross, Jesus was not raised from the dead, and the Bible is not true, what is left in Christianity? Nothing. Theologically, Islam tried to destroy the basic foundation of Christianity. So this is why trying to say that Islam and Christianity is similar, may be outwardly similar, but when you come down to it, it is, we have to choose Jesus or Muhammad. You cannot make it either way, Jesus or Muhammad. If Muhammad is true, then Christianity is wrong. If Christianity is true, then Islam is wrong. You cannot make a middle ground when come to the basic. Because our belief is founded on this premises that's rejected by Islam. Now, how do I have to explain to them? Try to explain to them all this objection when I do my evangelism. Now about the Trinity. First, usually when I talk to them, I emphasize the oneness of God first. That the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament emphasized that God is one, nothing else. It's like I quoted the Hebrew word from the Hebrew language of the Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Why I recite in Hebrew? Because there are similarities with the Quran. Kul wallahu ahad. And Hebrew said, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That word Echad means one, used by both the Old Testament and the Quran. So I said to them, see, even here in the Bible also we say that God is Echad. God is one. It's not only the domain of the Quran, it is also in the Bible. And Jesus Christ affirmed that with the confession of the Jews, that Adonai Echad, in Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 29. So I read my Bible here in Mark chapter, the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. It says as follows. Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Jesus Christ said exactly, he quoted what the Torah says. Then one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's what Jesus said. Just quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. And usually the Muslims say, yes, of course he's prophet, true prophet, of course, proclaiming the oneness of God. But the culprit is Paul. Paul is actually, they hate Paul so much. Paul is actually the one that destroyed the whole idea of the oneness of God, making one God become three, making a man become God. So, then I provide, okay, have you read this in the writing of Paul? Some say yes, some say no. Okay, let us read what the Paul says. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and verse 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and 6, the scripture says as follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and 6, it says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. See, Paul said that. Where does Paul deviate from the true teaching of Jesus? And verse 6, it says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, and so on. So having emphasized all these things, that the one God is one according to the scripture, then I tell them, however, the problem is not God, the problem is your understanding of Jesus. Is Jesus God or not? Then what the Bible says, and I quote it, what Jesus said upon himself, I read in the Gospel of John 17 verse 5, when it says, the Gospel of John 17 verse 5, Jesus said as follows, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So here Jesus said, before the existence of the world, he was already in existence with the Father. Which means, before he became the Son of Mary, he was already with God in glory. In what sense? It is God and Jesus? Or what? If that is so, there are two Gods then. In what sense then? If Jesus existed before the foundation of the world, was he in the form of man or not? Before the foundation of the world, there was no man. Of course, he was not in the form of man. He became man only after his incarnation. He became man only after he was born from the Virgin Mary. Therefore, he existed not in the form of man with its long hair, as we see in pictures. He existed as something else. But he existed. And then that's what I said to them. And he said that I was with you. With you in what sense? And I quote it from John chapter 8 verse 42. The Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 42, it says as follows. The Gospel of John 8 verse 42, the scripture says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God." If he proceeded forth from God, where was he before? What is the word proceeded forth actually? Came out. So where was he before then, if the Son? In God. Before he became man, he was within God. How is he within God? What is he within God as what? See in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, the scripture says as follows. Let me read from 1 to 2. "God, who at various times and various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets." So the age of the prophets is for the time past. "Has in these last days spoken us by his Son," which means the Son is for the last days. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the last prophet, according to Hebrew. Therefore, after the coming of Jesus, we do not wait another prophet to come. Therefore, Muhammad does not have place in the grand narrative of the gospel. Because according to the scripture, Jesus is the way God spoke to us for the last days. Therefore, he is the last prophet, the last revelation of God. Okay? Then, "has in this last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." God made the worlds through his Son. According to the book of Genesis chapter 1, God made the world through what? Through what? Saying. Word. God said, "Let there be this," and there was that. God said, "Let there be this," and there was that. Which means, according to the scripture, God created the world through the Word, and according to Hebrew, God created the world through the Son. Therefore, the Son is the Word. You got it? I have word. My word and me are not separated. Can it be separated? No. It is distinct from me because my word is in the form of sound. And my person in the form of this man with the black robe. But my word and my person cannot be separated. And my word is one within me. And my word proceeded forth from my mouth. Therefore, Jesus Christ said, I proceeded forth from the Father, because he is within God as the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. With God in what sense? With God's one within God. The way my Word is one within me. So let's read it, John chapter 1 verse 1. It says, John chapter 1 verse 1, so you shall I give this picture. According to the scripture, how many gods there are? One. And let's read according to the 1 Corinthians. Let's return back to 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6, that usually that's the way I explain to them, to make them understand. Yeah? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 6, the Bible says as follows. Yet for us there is one God, the Father. Who is that one God? The God of this verse? The Father. This one God is equal to the Father. Okay. And within this one God, there is the Word or the Son. Because he proceeded from the Father. According 1 Corinthians 8, 6. And the Word of God proceeded from the Father. John 8, 42. Through him, through the Word, God created the whole world. Let me read for you. In John chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So, through this Word, oh no, this, the thing it is like lips. God created the world. So the Word proceeded from God, yet one within God. Are there two God or one God? Still one God. Okay? And God is also living God. Being living God, he has the principle of life in himself. And the principle of life of God is his Spirit. So that's why in God there is Spirit. Read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. Spirit, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 11. It says as follows. So you have to speak in the language of the mental language of the Muslim in order to understand the Trinity. Not using our word three person. No, they don't care. They don't understand that. I even avoid the word person, even though I know there's person. After they become Christian, then I explain. Before that, I emphasize the oneness of the Trinity. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. But God has revealed to them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the thing of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? So according to this verse, where is the Spirit of man located? In man. Even so, no one knows the thing of God except the Spirit of God. If that is so, by analogy, where the Spirit of God resides? Within God, inside God. So the Spirit of God is in God, the Word of God also in God, and the Father is the source of His Spirit and His Word at the same time. Therefore, there is no three God, just one God. So this is why it is John chapter 15:26. It says, Jesus said, John 15:26. It says as follows: But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Son proceeded forth from the Father. The Spirit also proceeds from the Father. Therefore, the principle of oneness within the Trinity is the person of the Father. Within the Father is the Son, or the Word. Within the Father is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Scripture says. So, Christians do not worship three gods of all. It is one God. Then, I can turn the table on them. How Allah created the world according to the Quran? Through the word see. Allah also has word according to the Quran. How is the relationship of Allah and human being? He is nearer than his jugular vein, which means Allah also present in human being. Do you believe that? Yes, that is his spirit. We call his spirit. So in spite of your denial, actually, secretly you believe what we believe. Except, that's what he said. Except we are honest enough to say, yes, God has word, because the word of God was contained within God and being born out, in a sense, from the lips of God, from the mouth of God, things which is contained in a way God is pregnant with his word, the way my mind pregnant with my word. Then I give birth to this baby thought through my mouth. So in a sense, my word is the child of my mind. Therefore, the word of God is the Son of God, because it's born out from God. When Jesus is called the Son of God, it has nothing to do with his being born from the Virgin Mary later. So some people, because of his virgin birth. No. Because before he was born from the Virgin Mary, he was already there, called as the Son, and through whom God created the world. Therefore, the title Son is not directly connected with the virgin birth. But the title Son is directly connected from his proceeding forth from God. If the word is called the Son, then what is the origin of the word called? Of course, the Father. Therefore, Father and Son are not two gods. Father is that one God. Son is the word that proceeds and dwells within God. So, Christians do not believe in three gods. Therefore, the Holy Trinity does not explain the amount of God. God is one. The Holy Trinity only explains what is there in the one God. How the one God exists within himself. So, you got it? So, this is what the way you have to explain to the Muslim. Secondly, about Jesus. Is Jesus God or not? You shall explain. Now you got it. The Quran says, "Idha qalatil malaikat." Remember when the angel said, "Ya Maryama, O Mary, inna Allaha yubasiruk." Surely God gave you glad tidings. Bi kalimat minhu, with the word from himself. Asmuhu al-Masih Isa. His name will be Jesus Christ. Ibn Maryam, the son of Mary. Wajiha fi dunya wal akhirah. He will be great in this world and hereafter. Wa minal muqrabin. And he will be among those who are near to God. Quran chapter 3 verse 45. According to this Quranic verse, Jesus is called as the word of God. The word from himself. It is the word from God. Then, as I said already, the word is one with the speaker. I cannot possibly separate my word from me. Okay, I want to go to the other private class, and I don't want to talk anything there. Let me leave my word. Let me put it here. Can I? No. Wherever I am, there my word will be. Wherever God is, there his word will be. The word and God cannot be separated, because one is God. Then, I know Father Marcus, Father Jacob, and I know his wife. Then I went back to Indonesia. I just gave you like illustration to make easier things. I went back to Indonesia. I called Father Jacob and his wife. Is Father Jacob home? Honey, what did he say? There's a sound here in the phone. Does he say that? No. There is Father Daniel. Well, I'm not there. Only my word. My word is identical with me. The word of anybody is identical with the person. the same nature like the person. Therefore, the Word of God has the same nature like God Himself. Therefore, to make things easier, Christians say Jesus is God because the Word of God is God. Has the same identical nature as the Father. And I will ask the Muslim, do you believe the Quran is the Word of God? He will say yes. If it is the Word of God, it is eternal or not? Most likely they will say yes, it is eternal beside the throne of God. If it is eternal, while eternity is the attribute of God, don't you think you attribute divinity to a book? At least we attribute divinity to the Word, but for us the Word is one within God. For you the Word is beside God. Don't you believe two gods then? Two eternal things, God Himself and His book, because they are separated? For us, the Word of God is not separate. It does not lie on the throne of God, but it is within God Himself and proceed from God. Because the Word of God is with God, one within God. And then, so, therefore, Jesus Christ, we believe Jesus Christ is God the way you believe the Quran is eternal. And you say it is illogical that Jesus is God and man at the same time having two natures. How can it be? Let me ask you, if the Quran is eternal, but in your hand, is it eternal or not? Paper is not eternal, book is not eternal, it is printed from the printing house, which means Quran has two natures. The created nature of the book and ink and writing, then eternal nature of the Word is one of God. Don't you believe so? They will say yes. That is exactly what we believe about Jesus Christ. You have your own thinking. We also have. That is exactly what we believe about Jesus Christ. Because it is the Word of God, He is eternal one with the Father. Because He became man, assumed humanity from the Virgin Mary. Therefore, He also created reality. Therefore, Jesus has two natures, the way your Quran has two natures. If you criticizing us, how God can be crucified, and we can criticize you back, how can an eternal book can be burned? Okay? How God can cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? If Quran has mouth, they will cry out when you burn. Oh, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. The same thing. So that's the parallel. So the parallel between Islam and Christianity, it's not Muhammad and Jesus Christ. It's not Quran and the Bible. The parallel is Quran and Jesus Christ. Because in Christianity, the Word became man. According to the Gospel of John 1, verse 14, and the Word became man and dwelt among us. Is that true? In Christianity, the Word became man. In Islam, the Word became book. And that book is the Quran. So for us, for Christianity, for original Christianity, the traditional Christianity, the Word of God is primarily Jesus Christ. The Bible is the Word of God because it witnessed to that Word with Jesus Christ. And also because this witness is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But primarily, it is not book, but person. For Christianity, the Word of God is that person, and our reading of the Bible is in order to find that Word, in order to find that person. So that's why we don't care if we read it in Hebrew, in Greek, and why? Because there is no holy language by itself. It's become holy. It is sanctified by the way for the worship of God. Because the purpose of our reading the Bible is not reciting the original language, but the purpose is to find Jesus Christ. Because that is the Word. So then, if Islam believe that the Word become book, Christian believe the Word become man. And the Word become book through whom? Through Muhammad. Therefore, what is the parallel of Muhammad and Christianity? It is not with Jesus, of course. How has the Word become man in Jesus in Christianity? Through whom? Mary. Can you see the parallel here? So that's why if you try to set away Mary from the theological the discourse with Islam, then you don't have parallel there. You have to return back. Yes, Mary has place here. Why? Because she is the one through whom the Word of God, who does not have flesh, because God does not have body, taking flesh from the Virgin. He does not have bring the flesh from heaven. There is no flesh in heaven. He took the flesh from the Virgin Mary and became man, and that through the flesh he took from the Virgin Mary, he was able to be crucified on the cross. In a way, the Virgin Mary has offered to God, through her faith, part of herself to be used in the process of salvation by God becoming man, taking humanity from her. So I said to them, no right Christian would worship Mary as God. But the way you respect Muhammad, every time you, of course I'm talking from Orthodox point of view, the way you respect Muhammad, every time Muhammad is mentioned, you say, peace be upon him. Salam alaika, O ya Nabi, peace be to you, O Prophet. I remember the song about Muhammad. Ya Nabi, salam alaika. Ya Rasul, salam alaika. Ya Nabi, and so on. Just the Muslim has praise upon praise on Muhammad. Yet, they make distinction, even though we praise Muhammad, we don't worship Muhammad, only God to be worshipped. The same thing, we are the respect of ancient Christians with Mary. Why respect Mary? Not because we worship, but not because we believe he says God, yes. But because through her, the Word of God took human flesh for our salvation. Through her, the Word of God, who is not human, taking his humanity in order for him to be able to crucify. Therefore, we also giving the same greeting to Mary the way the angel Gabriel gave to her. What is that? What said the angel Gabriel had come to her? Yeah? What is it in Greek? Let me read in the Gospel of Luke. And that is that verse that is spoken by the angel Gabriel, repeated again and again in the form of song and poem in the Orthodox Church, and elaborated in such a way. Let's read it. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And behold, and all this was, "Rejoice, highly favored one! The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women," and all these things. This becomes the way the angel greeted Mary. That is the way the Orthodox Church greeted Mary. The way you greet Muhammad. If you accuse us of worshiping Mary, then I can accuse you of worshiping Muhammad. Then, oh yes, that's right. No. So, and also, if we talk about crucifixion. Okay, then I think this. I cannot finish the whole thing. It's time is up. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to have time. The question, maybe if you have time, maybe you have a question outside of the class. It will be okay for you if you have any questions. So thank you so much.
Thank you.